And my time on earth is gone, and my activities here are past. I want they bury me upside down, and my critics can kiss my ass.
I'm doing these naked, by the way, just so you'll know. Completely buck naked. That is right. Is there really any other way to cut sweepers? I mean, when you get right down to it.
And listen, Mama, he was naked and aroused.
Hello. Hello there, old friend. What are you doing? Hey, what is up? I'm just watching Antiques Roadshow and having some apple juice. Whoa!
Hey, there's my call waiting. Hello?
Hello, companion.
Hey, it's Charlie Broyhill.
Hey, Charlie, what is up?
Oh!
A knock at my door. Hello?
Well, hello there, old friend. What is up?
Not much. I'm just having an apple juice watching Antiques Roadshow. Wow. Watching Antiques Roadshow and having an ice cold apple juice. True that.
Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Where will somebody touch it? Go, hey!
The ships at sea. Hey, can you smell it? That's the smell of Wichita excitement.
Yeehaw!
And here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. Oh, 24 hours from now, we'll be knee-deep in that excitement.
I can't wait.
Oh, brother. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I'm loopy for the Kansas.
Hello, and thank you for listening coast-to-coast nationwide via Westwood One, my darlings. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, Don and Mike Show, coming to you from our flagship radio station, WJFK-FM, Washington, D.C. Heard every day throughout America via Westwood One with over 6 million daily listeners. Thanks to the Arbitron Rating Service. No thanks to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, or Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim.
Yeah.
And here he is to my left and to your right. The only guy in this studio who's truly happy.
Yes.
That 8 hours from now we'll be landing in Wichita.
There he is.
Radio's Michael J. Burbank.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
He can't contain himself.
He's loopy.
I am loopy for the Kansas.
He's happy. He is from Wichita.
Mm-hmm. He's so happy.
Pa Elston, Ma Elston coming to the airport to pick their young son Kal-El up tonight.
We're coming home.
You know, they're going to be remembering the time when they found the rocket ship from mm-hmm. Krypton.
Absolutely.
There he was. He was wearing his blankets, and his ma later sewed them into the uniform with the tights and the cape that he's wearing today.
We were just up at the vending machine, and I was getting peanuts out, and Buzz came bounding into the room and said, "You're getting peanuts, too?"
Yeah, I was
and
really
I was
excited.
Ready. I was really ready to smack him. I don't know if you noticed.
I can tell.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Well, he's happy for two reasons. First, mm-hmm. we're going to his hometown.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Today will be a truncated show, I am sad to say, because you simply cannot get a direct flight from here to there. You can't do it.
No, unless you, use the company jet, and we are not even aware that there is a company jet.
There's not a company jet, and frankly, there are no flights from the D.C. area that leave tomorrow morning that would get us in Wichita in time to do the show.
Right.
That's a fact. So we got to have a truncated show today, which means that for a lot of, for all respect, today will be a backward show. I've wanted to do a backward show for a long time where...
Like Professor Backward.
Where we would come on and start with the news
right.
and do very brief news segments and then end with a big hour-long chat about whatever we did during the day.
Absolutely.
Someday we'll do a backward show.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's a semi-backward show because we'll get all of our stuff out of the way here.
Right.
Get you set for the show tomorrow. Then we'll go right to Buzz with news.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll play some timely reruns for the rest of the show while we make our way to the airport.
Bingo!
Get ready for that fantastic... Yeah, why is it that it takes 5 hours and 15 minutes to fly... From Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles.
Please,
you're so happy.
I know.
So let me finish the question, please. Yet it will take us nearly 6 hours to fly half the distance tonight to Wichita.
That's true. The deregulation of the airlines under the Reagan administration. That's what caused all this. I agree with you. That is exactly what's caused it, where they can take you anywhere they want to take you.
Right.
You know, when they used to have service, when it was regulated by the government, you used to have certain service, certain flights had to be available.
You love blaming the Ronald Reagan, don't you?
Well, they used to, see, the government used to force the airlines to fly to Wichita, whether they wanted to go there or not. Now they're no longer forced to do that.
Which is why we have to fly to Podunk first.
Right.
Well, actually, before we get to Wichita.
We have to fly to Atlanta first.
Right, like I said, Podunk. We've been in Atlanta before.
This is true.
So listen, before we get to calls, and we'll take your calls, today is... Thursday, March 16th. Phone number 1-877-365-3636. A couple of brief updates first. I did spend most of last night going up and down the satellite dish for that Bobby Knight story. And I did watch the hour-long CNN special, not CNNSI. But CNN did an hour-long special on Bobby Knight last night.
You know, an impromptu special where based on the allegations.
And there are players who are now standing up and saying that, yes, indeed.
There was poo?
Bob Knight did walk around with underpants down, toilet paper out, poo on the toilet paper saying, this is what you played.
My God.
Also got the player who says Bobby Knight choked him. They had an interview last night with a black player who said Bobby Knight went after him with a whip.
Wow. My God.
It was just great. So look,
could this actually maybe be the end of Mr.
No,
Bobby Knight?
Absolutely not.
You know, sometimes it happened to Woody Hayes.
He's a deity.
Yes, he is.
In Indiana. So that's the latest on Bobby Knight. Like I said yesterday, I believe the story about the toilet paper. Great motivator. Item number two. Will somebody please explain this to me? We live in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. All over America, gas is costing up to $2 a gallon. It sucks. I hate paying $30 to fill up my tank. You hate paying $30. Buzz hates paying. Everybody hates
sure.
paying money for gas. But what is the point of these dumb truck drivers bringing 5,000 different big rigs and driving down in the middle of the city today? What is the point?
They're protesting.
Okay, listen, I got news for you. The only people that are hurting by this are the people who live in D.C., who are trying to use the Beltway to get to
right.
our schools, to get to our jobs, to get to places we have to go.
I'll tolerate an awful lot on this show, but I'm not going to tolerate you bashing truckers. I mean, I really am tired of it.
I'm here. I'm friend of the trucker. Nothing gets anywhere without the truck. I know that.
Don, if you use it, it got there with a truck. How many times
have you heard me say that?
That stupid,
inane thing. Oh, no, that's
thing.
True.
If you,
yeah, I
that's
know it's true. That's very true, and I empathize, you know, with the truckers. I agree.
If you use it, it got there on a truck, a plane, and a boat. Thank you very much.
The gas prices suck, but listen, you do absolutely no good. Gas prices are not going to suddenly miraculously turn around because 5,000 trucks disrupted traffic today in Washington, D.C.
I was so proud of myself last night when I needed a fill-up, and I drove into the middle of town, and I saw these gas stations with a... I like to put the high test, the high octane in my Yugo. I really do. And so I saw $1.69 for high test, and there were three gas stations all within a square block. And so what I decided to do was I decided to go to the Costco, where it was $1.55, and I was very proud of this.
Yeah, a lot of times you can get a cheaper gas. Remember when Sears used to have gas stations?
Yeah, and the thing is, we were all standing there, and it was kind of a breezy, balmy night, and we were all underneath the soft glow of the neon, and no one was really speaking. There wasn't a lot of noise, but everyone occasionally would glance at one another, and we'd all kind of say, yeah, we know we're here. We know we've got that.
Keep
that,
it quiet.
We've got that special little deal next to the Price Club.
I used to love the fact that they would pump gas at Sears because back before I knew Frida, BF, back when I was a bum,
right?
Back when I was absolutely broke and had no money, the only credit card I had was a Sears credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go, I lived paycheck to paycheck, mm-hmm. had no money. No money at all, and I would drive my car all the way around the Beltway to Landover Mall, to the Sears at Landover Mall, because I could fill it up with gas and put it on the Sears charge.
And you would eat at Sears, too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you're laughing, but I did. I had meals in the Sears luncheonette.
There you go.
I sure did. Sears kept me alive for a long time with their cheap gas and with the fact that they were the only store
that was foolish enough to give you a credit card.
Or you could get a store credit card, and you could actually use it for gas and use it for tires and junk like that.
Yum, yum as a luncheonette.
It was fantastic, but I just don't understand the point of these guys driving in. I know they're pissed. You know they're pissed. We're all pissed about the gas.
I think it's really not doing anything to help their PR, especially right here in Washington. But nationwide, you know, you'll see on the news all the truckers lined up. It'll be a national news story again.
Yeah, but again, what is the end result? This is like a conversation with Alan Leinwand,
yes,
our de facto general manager,
mm-hmm.
the junior soprano, the Bill Belichick of WJFK.
Right.
It's like you're going to have a conversation with him. You already know what the end result's going to be. Mm-hmm. Why waste the time? That's what I said to the truckers. You're coming into town. Yes, you'll be on TV tonight. It'll be the lead on Tom Brokaw's show and a Peter and Jennings show. And then tomorrow, everybody will still go about the business, and gas will still be $2 a goddamn gallon.
I would assume the truckers feel that their first protest was largely unnoticed by the powers that be in Washington.
It was noticed by the people who have to drive on the Beltway.
Yeah, and I think they don't care about them.
I think they hope that that inconvenience will not only make you aware of their problem, but make you contact your lawmakers, your congressmen, and let them know that you want a solution
to
that.
If they think that's going to happen, they're barking up the wrong tree.
No, it just makes people pissed at truck drivers.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know what I think it is?
You're sitting in a backup on the Beltway for 45 minutes, you go, oh, there must be some awful wreck, and then you see that the county cops are out there, and it's like a funeral procession coming through where nobody can break into traffic because you had these groups of 50 trucks at a time going down the Beltway.
Everybody likes a parade, and everybody likes a day off, and you got two things going for you if you're doing that protest. You know, first of all, you're not working, you're not doing anything productive, and if you're so, and I said this yesterday, if you're so damn broke, how'd you get the gas to go downtown to take your truck down there where you're going to sit in a line for, you know, burning fuel like you would never burn fuel on the open highway?
Mm-hmm. And all the morons downtown who, like, came out of the office buildings and stuff to stand by the side of the road. Like it was
wave at them.
The Mercury astronauts coming back from the moon or something.
Where's the bunch of truckers?
People standing out on the side of the street, just wave at them. Hi!
Right.
Thanks for effing up the traffic. Hi! Hey! Thanks for making my drive into work 2.5 hours today.
Good luck. Good luck with your protest. I can't wait till it starts raining and you get to go 80 miles an hour so you can endanger all our lives. Hey, good luck. Good luck on that next fatal accident where you don't die because you're in the truck.
I just don't get the point of that. Okay, next item. Toya. Well, Toya, come here, please, for a second. I just gotta get these things out lickety-split because we're doing a very truncated show today. Normally, we'd have time for elongated discussion on all of these topics. You know, I've given Toya a homework assignment.
Yeah, but she's not going to fulfill that homework assignment.
No, yesterday she actually had what she thought would be a nice, you know, meet in the middle of the road.
She had a brilliant idea. She was really using her thinking cap.
And she didn't say it on the radio, so I'll give you the chance to say it now, and I'll give you a chance to hear me turn you down now on the radio. But yesterday, late in the show, a girl called, and she'd been waiting like 25 minutes, a half hour on hold, something like that during the news, mm-hmm. and she just wanted to say that she enjoy swallowing.
Yes, and there were more than one. I mean, there were a couple of women that called to say that, and they were the one lady that waited so long, it just it blew me away.
And that's all she wanted to say. She went on hold for 25, 30 minutes.
Right.
She just, I just want to say, tell Toya I enjoy swallowing. Goodbye, and she hung up.
And I'm sure Toya's getting a lot of phone calls back there that don't make it to the air with women that are saying the same thing. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
And from fellas?
Yes.
So then during the commercial set, she comes in, and she says something to me. Mike was sitting right here, and she said it right in front of Mike.
Now, did the subject just come up where we were talking about your homework assignment, or did you volunteer that out of the blue? Said, I'll do. Well, go ahead. What did you say to Don yesterday?
Okay, well, I wanted to make a bet with Don, and I said, Don, if you do it with Frida in the no-no spot, then I'll swallow, and we can come back and compare notes.
Okay. If I remember accurately, there was much hilarity. I do believe leaning my head back and laughing out loud because I thought it was a wonderful touche on Toya's part.
Effing way. Absolutely not. As bad as I think you should experience the joy of swallowing, there's no way that I would subject myself or my wife to no-no sex.
Well, she's laid down the challenge now that, you know, if you enjoy the no-no spot,
no way.
She will do your homework assignment.
No way for the no-no. Absolutely not.
See, it's a brilliant move.
The no-no for the swallow.
Yeah. See, brilliant strategic move on her part.
She's like a good chess player. That's what she is. Yeah.
It bodes well for her tenure here because I'll tell you, it just shows she's using her thinking cap. I think that's really good. It means that she will be able to negotiate all the mindless political games that are run here at the fun JFK.
So you mean to say that for the foreseeable future, you won't swallow.
Exactly.
As long as I don't.
She is so adamant about it.
As long as I don't do it in the no-no spot.
That's right.
Okay. All right, thanks.
I guess we, you two will have to agree to disagree.
Right, thank you.
All right, touché. Bye.
Game, set, match. Certainly is different than arguing with Mike Rockhead.
I'll tell you, it's more thinking than has ever been done by an individual in that position.
Right. She trumped me right there. She kinged me.
Or whatever
whatever you say in checkers when you jump, you say king me.
We have a lot of contact with Joy, a little hello, hi, how are you, what's going on? But that's the first time, really, that ever she just came in, game, set, and match.
She won.
Yes.
That's it. She shut me down. I won't ask her again about swallowing.
She certainly did. I'll tell you, it was funny then, but when she said it yesterday, she caught us all by, you know, when you do it with Frida in the no-no spot, we're like, wow!
He's nuts.
That's good.
That's what I'm doing in the no-no spot.
These nuts.
Okay, next item. Received a phone call today from the editor-in-chief of Maxim magazine.
Yes, and where does it stand?
He has received our list.
Good.
He has received the photo.
Yes.
He thinks it is hilarious.
Good.
We are a go for the May issue of Maxim magazine.
That is wonderful.
With our list of the 100 hottest women of the millennium, including the fake picture that was taken by the two listeners who look like they're gay who came in and took their shirts off.
What's he say? It's going to be the May issue?
The May issue of Maxim magazine that will feature Gillian Anderson on the cover.
Well, that should be about 3-4 weeks, then that'll be on the newsstand.
Coming out very quickly. Tomorrow, when we're in Vegas, when we're in Wichita doing a Vegas-style show, tomorrow when we do the Vegas-style show from Wichita,
right?
Here's what we're going to be doing tomorrow night. What are you laughing at?
You just make me laugh sometimes. Try to will that to happen.
You're a mind reader.
These nuts.
This is tomorrow at the Las Vegas Style Show in Wichita, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the final edict on what we can and cannot do.
Okay.
We can do our regular Las Vegas Style Show.
All right.
There can be no nudity, meaning there can be no nipple, there can be no genital, there can be no anal crack.
Right.
However, fellas, and more importantly, girls, can wear very revealing underwear.
Excellent.
We will allow thong underpants. We will allow pasties.
Well, now you've got a contradiction there because you're reading an ordinance that says no anal cleft, and then you're saying thong underwear.
Yes, but the thong covers the crack.
Legally.
Legally.
Yes. I think the law does look at it that way.
Legally, okay. And we've run this by the people at KFH.
Right.
And the reason is that we are bringing the liquid latex.
Oh, good.
And Buzz is going to be latexing buttocks.
Excellent.
And latexing
tummies,
cleavages, and belly buttons tomorrow.
Wonderful. Very good.
Normally, girls just come up and take their tops off. We won't be able to do that tomorrow night, but Buzz will be liquid latex. So if you want to wear your thong underpants.
The thong underwear is okay.
Yes. Buzz will be able to do your buttocks. He'll also be able to do the cleavage on the very low-cut tops.
Very good.
Pasties are a go.
Yep.
We'll also be doing the semi-nude feud.
Mm-hmm.
We will be doing the Homo Joe Dennis Murphy challenges.
Good.
We will have all of the wacky uncensored tapes. Of course, you will have our absolutely filthy X-rated language.
Yes.
And the highlight of the show will be the underwear fashion show.
Bingo!
So the show's a go tomorrow night in Wichita.
I'll tell you, if you haven't seen the semi-nude feud, it is a blast. Mm-hmm. And this will only be the second time we've done it on stage, so it should be a lot of fun.
Also in Wichita right now, Dennis Murphy, who's on our telephone. I guess no, he got disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something funny happened yesterday. Again, late in the show. This was off the air.
Right.
I was actually screening calls. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the show, I get bored. I start picking up the phone myself. It was Don and Mike's show. Hello. And it was Gladys Kravitz. She did not recognize my voice.
Ah.
She said, hi, this is Gladys Kravitz. I'm calling from Wichita. I'm calling for Don and Mike. Mm-hmm. I said, well, Don and Mike won't talk to you. You're on restriction. She said, I'm calling for Dennis Murphy.
Oh, dear.
That Dennis Murphy had called Gladys Kravitz, this old Broomhilda listener we have in Wichita. He called her and asked her to call the show to announce that Dennis's plane would be arriving last night at 9:30 in Wichita, and that Dennis would like everybody to turn out to greet him at the airport.
Unbelievable.
So I said to her, sure, I'll have them announce that.
And it never happened.
I hung up and, you know, went back to picking my nose or whatever I was doing.
It never, never happened.
And now I saw a moment, no, it never did. I saw a moment ago that on the screen we had Dennis and Gladys at some event in Wichita, but they've now dropped off the face of the earth.
Why are they together?
Yeah, I don't know.
This troubles me, too. This is what I asked you yesterday, is how do they have contact, and why are they so buddy-buddy?
Regular callers tend to find each other, Rob. Mm-hmm.
But that's like 3,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but Dennis found her.
You gotta get my hand.
Maybe he looked under Witch in the Telephone Book.
That's very, very interesting that they were able to hook up, because... It troubles me for some reason.
Yeah, and how very sad it was that we were not able to announce that Dennis would be arriving at the Wichita Airport at 9:30 so that the marching band could show up to greet the great
Dennis Murphy.
Dennis Murphy.
He's here with his teeth and his breath.
When he arrives at his feet.
Gosh.
In Wichita.
In that breath.
I think he's out today doing some type of personal appearance thing for the radio station where they're going to send him to various shops where people can pick up the last-minute tickets for tomorrow night's show.
Wonderful.
Yeah, right. Let's go to these phones right now. Let's take just a few calls, and then we're going to go right to doing a backwards show. We'll go to Buzz and News, which we never do at this time of the day. Hello, Gene.
Hello.
Hello, Gene. You're on the air.
Well, hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Gene.
Hi. Hey, I got a great idea for noise on your show.
A great idea for noise?
Yes.
What do you mean by noise, Gene?
It sounds like you've got the best party on the afternoon during the week than anyone else in the office has in town.
What is your point?
What do you mean by noise, Gene?
How about gourmet?
How about gourmet?
Gourmet satisfaction.
Gene, what the hell are you talking about? You're not making any sense at all.
Oh, Dad, I'm going to be real mad if you end up saying these nuts.
Well, I studied a field of communications myself, and I know what noise is and the type of noise people make, and I certainly know what satisfaction is. And I think that of all the things you could hear on the Don and Mike show...
Where's the Twilight Zone music, Rob?
You never sound like you're a satisfied gourmet. And I want to bring that into perspective for you and let you know it sounds like the most perfect aroma you could ever smell.
Yes, go ahead.
And...
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Beautiful, beautiful voice.
Yes?
Yes, Gene.
One of the most deepest and smartest you could ever speak.
Yes, Gene, we understand you.
I know these things because I'm calling from Sacramento.
Right, of course you are.
It's a town of compulsive gamblers.
We understand.
Yes, Gene, what's the point?
And so...
Keep going because I find this fascinating.
Oh, is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well...
Gene, tell me, can you smell the rotting body parts from the family members that I'm positive you've killed and buried in your basement?
That wasn't me. I'm a Marine. Maybe burn down the huts and pollute the wire, set the oil on fire that's polluting on top of the surface of the water.
We got one here.
Yeah, we sure do.
Drop a grenade in a mouse hole, and maybe that'll stink, but I'm certainly not one of those gutter snipes that are hanging out along the border, and none of the wetbacks are getting caught until somebody of them are dead.
I know. Let me see if I have this right now. You have not killed any members of your immediate family, but you have served this country?
Yes, I have.
You wouldn't have, like, human heads in your backyard, would you?
No. But I tell you, if to do it right, though, I'd probably take all the names ever carved into rocks and try to lift them into magic words and use eulogies as a prophecy and live forever on it.
You know, when we get a call like this, it's really like, it's kind of like a vintage wine. He's a poet. It really is.
It takes him a while, but eventually, the aroma.
Names carved in rocks. That to me is the first sign. This is a wonderful bouquet.
Do you think he suffers from that ancient orange?
Not perhaps ancient orange.
Oh, Gene, it's fun listening to you.
So, Gene, when you strapped on a when you strapped on a weapon and defended the United States of America, where did you go to serve?
During the Iranian crisis, I was called to duty.
Were you on a boat? Were you on a were you in a battle group on the water?
At that time, the USS Coral Sea was floating, and I did maybe 10 hours on the Coral Sea.
10 hours? That seems like a very brief stay on an aircraft carrier.
Yes, true. I was at the time I was only a reservist, and so we confined our activities to just mobilizations and drills for actual fighting.
Call me crazy, Gene, and perhaps I shouldn't even engage in this line of questioning, but if you were 10 hours on an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf, logistically that sounds like it would be impossible.
I wasn't in this Persian Gulf. I was actually over in the Pacific Coast.
Okay, you were basically in a Marine base in San Diego?
Actually, at that time, Mare Island.
Tell me something, Gene. Do you like girls?
I most certainly do. I read a Playboy every night, every day from while I was a teenager and through my college years.
I read a Playboy.
Every month I had a subscription.
Weird right there. I read a Playboy.
So what do you like reading in a Playboy best?
It depends. Most of the girls they use now are much plainer than the ones they've had during the times I was growing up.
Gene, could you describe yourself for us?
Yes?
I look like a very dark, mysterious man.
No, Gene, come on. Who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Which celebrity do I most resemble?
Yeah.
Well, any celebrity that likes to hitchhike off of somebody else's marketing. Say, Tom Hanks.
What did he say? Any celebrity who wants to
To hitchhike off of others' marketing, which in a strange way makes sense to me.
Do hitchhike marketing. Like Tom Hanks in a rescue during Saving Private Ryan, where he's carrying somebody else's weapon in addition to his own weapon, and then carrying somebody else's pack on the front of his body in addition to the pack on the rear of his body, and he wants to be seen in a distance wearing a helmet and his gear in the water in the boat with the rest of the Marines. That's Tom Hanks.
Have you registered yourself with the local authorities?
I'm registered with the Writers Guild of America.
The Writers Guild of America?
I certainly am, yes.
You're a writer.
Are they authorities? Yes, I am.
Gene, if you're a writer, then describe yourself for us and stop beating around the bush. Get to it, man. Describe yourself.
That's an order, Gene.
Right now, Gene.
I've got a naturally curly hair.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It resembles tumbleweed, and I'm built like a wrestler.
Now it's turning.
There
and,
you go.
I'm a,
Rob Spiewak with an afro.
I'm very very Italian, with
really?
A tint of desert.
Italian with a tint of desert.
Yes.
Excellent.
Sierra Madre Desert.
Sierra Madre.
Yeah, how many, I'm a Mexican.
How many weapons do you
I'm a Mexican from California.
How many weapons do you currently have in your possession?
None.
Yes, thank God for that.
How about hidden in your car?
Hidden in my car?
Yes.
Gene, I hope when you say...
That's my car. I'm working for a car.
Gene, I hope when you say you don't have any weapons, that would mean that in your kitchen or kitchenette or near the hot plate, as it were, there would be plastic utensils.
Hmm. Well, actually, I try to call on God and use the Bible in any situation where I may need to fear for my life. And would need some sort of force to protect myself. And I find that calling on God and using the Bible is one of the best sources for inner strength.
Right, right, gotcha.
That.
All right, Gene, listen. Right. Gene, what can we do for you? Why did you call us, Gene?
Because I thought I had a great idea, and I thought I'd bring it on the air.
Well, Gene, I think you tried to share your idea with us, but it was really lost
on us. Did you know Numbers was being filmed here in Sacramento just last week? They had all these trailers parked out near the cemetery, and all 44th and 45th Street, all the mansions in that area, were blocked off, and they had all this fake snow all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
There was John Travolta, you know, the guy from Saturday Night Fever. Everyone goes to discos and wants to dance just like him.
You've heard of him.
And wear those shirts open and stuff, and probably smell like him, too. He was there signing autographs.
Right, John Travolta. We know him from Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Enjoy this fine wine of a call.
All right, Gene, thank you, my friend. Listen, you know what? If we didn't have a truncated show today, we could probably really analyze you.
Is there a chance you could call us back sometime, Gene?
Hey, well, you know, I downloaded a brain program and a personality program for nothing on the internet.
Is there a time you could call
us
back, Gene?
Call us back, Gene. Call us back on Monday or Tuesday.
Sure. When do you want me to call you back?
Whenever it's convenient for you. You know, whenever you're not out slicing and dicing.
Okay, Gene?
Sure.
All right, Gene.
All right. And do I get a free K-bar for this from Don and Mike?
A free what?
K-bar.
What is a K-bar?
You don't know what a K-bar is?
No, sir.
No.
You know, I ask a lot of questions about weapons. It's a dagger.
A dagger.
Terrific.
Yes, we will send you a...
usually carve your name on it.
Yes, I will send you a free dagger in the mail.
Our tickets to a Rolling Stones concert would be nice.
Yes, okay, Gene. Sure. You got it, Gene. Thank you, buddy. Just watch your mailman.
You got it. And
okay.
Don't forget to mention that gourmet on the show.
Right, Semper Fi.
Hey, Semper Fi Dallas.
Take care, Gene.
See ya.
Bye.
I highly recommend Condé Nast magazines.
Thank you, Gene.
You're welcome.
All right, goodbye now.
Goodbye. Bye, Don and Mike.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hang up now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm hanging up. Bye, Don and Mike. See you later.
Okay.
Okay.
Man. Who's frightened? Raise your hand.
I am.
There you go.
I am.
Bingo.
Jesus Christ.
Condé Nast magazine at the very end.
He loves those.
John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever.
You know, he always had his shirt undone.
Everybody wants to dress like him and dance like him.
Smell like him.
Hello, JR.
Radio God.
Hi, JR.
Full metal jacket.
Yeah, that last guy agreed. Got to agree. Private pile?
Mm-hmm.
What is that in your Foot Locker?
You know, perhaps, in his bunk on the USS Coral Sea, someone took the bars of soap to him. Who knows?
No kidding. Quick question, Don.
JR, yeah, buddy.
Yesterday you were talking about colon cleansing. What was the colon cleansing stuff you used?
That is Mike. That is not me. And I am glad that you brought that up, sir.
I got to confess, I had a chat with my gastroenterologist today. Not the one that did my colonoscopy, but one of his partners and another gastroenterologist. And he told me that I should not take that stuff anymore.
Uh-huh.
I read him. You know all those ingredients that I read?
Yeah.
I read him all the ingredients and I got down one, you know, and he was going, uh-huh. I mean, methodically, we were going through these ingredients. He wanted me to read the ingredients. And we got to this one thing, I think it's called the Sagrada root or whatever. He said, yep, there you go. No, you don't want to. He said, what it is, although it's all natural, it is a natural laxative.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to take a laxative because you will become totally dependent on that. And so he immediately upped my dosage of the FiberCon, and he took me off of that stuff. So, I mean, I was disappointed as soon as he said no, because I did love this stuff.
We will not be getting a picture of a 5-foot bowel movement.
A 5-foot BM, no. You will not be getting, you know, and all I'm telling you, know, look, I am not saying one thing or the other. I am simply telling you that my particular doctor told me that I shouldn't do that. And the reasoning, he said, is that you would become dependent on it, and I don't want to take something that's going to do that.
Like Elvis.
Makes sense.
Okay. Right.
Hey, did Don.
Yeah.
Did you tap your wife's ass last night, or did you leave a face? Because you're a sexual god in my book.
Thank you, sir. And did
you tap your wife's ass last night?
I did not. I never tapped
my wife's
ass.
Do you understand me? You know, it's...
Did I bang my wife?
No. Did you do it in the no-no spot?
I never do it in the no-no spot.
Well, did you do it in any spot?
No, I tried. She would have no part of it.
She would... Oh, man, you're not a real man. And I don't know.
I'm sorry, sir. I J-O'd. that means anything to you. I J-O'd repeatedly.
While you were reading Playboy.
reading the Playboy magazine.
Reading Playboy. It just,
right.
You know, it's coming from that guy, it doesn't sound the same as when the other guy said it.
It sure doesn't. Hello, Malcolm.
My day.
Malcolm in the middle.
I thanks. First time I heard that. Hey, I know
that
guy.
Was coming too.
Okay.
Gene was in my battalion.
back in California. He was in my shop as a Marine Corps officer. We used to call him Shaky Jake. But as soon as I heard that voice, my pucker factor went up to about 10 because I
You're
was afraid.
Kidding. So you really knew that?
I really knew it. As soon as he said he was in the Marine Corps, because
you're on the level?
His voice, huh?
You're on the level.
I'm on the level. I'm a former Marine Corps officer. I was a captain when I got out. He was in California. And if this is the same guy, because the voice, you can hear the voice.
Did you guys all, like, beat him up in the middle of the night or stuff?
Have you ever heard of Code Red?
Yeah. I saw the movie A Few Good Men.
Hey, now tell me something. The USS Coral Sea in the 10 hours, were you able to make any sense out of what he was saying?
Absolutely not. That doesn't make any sense at all. Did he say it was an aircraft carrier? Because Coral Sea, I believe, is a landing platform ship.
Okay, that was me. I was saying there. I thought it sounded like an aircraft carrier.
So did you ever code red that guy?
No, I never did.
You know what Code Red is, right? You saw the movie with Jack Nicholson?
Does that have something to do with the no-no spot?
No, it's where they...
Those things you don't ask any questions about. You just kind of let them,
They took this guy and they just beat the crap out of him and killed him.
Oh, my God.
It was a Code Red. It was in the movie, A Few Good Men.
Oh, you mean where the guy that can't cut it and they just...
Right. Santiago.
They were supposed to just beat the crap out of him, but
they killed him.
They killed him by accident.
They killed him. Private Santiago.
Code Red actually isn't even something that's used. They usually do something like Full Metal Jacket with the blanket parties, the soap, and the pillowcases, if you ever hear about it.
Right, all right. Thank you, Malcolm.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, see you.
All right.
All right, goodbye.
You know, it's funny when that's in the movies, we can all kind of talk about it, and then you hear a guy like that saying, well, we don't use the term Code Red. Then I get all,
Is that hinky? Is that the word you use?
Hinky. Good, sure.
Very hinky. Last call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, it's Gladys.
Gladys.
And I'm here with Dennis at BC Paging in Wichita, Kansas, and we had a big crowd.
Gladys, first off, you're not even allowed to call the show. Second, when you called yesterday, how did Dennis get a hold of you to tell you to call us to announce that he was flying into Wichita like anybody cares?
Because we're communicating by email, and then I called him, and he shared that information with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know who she sounds like?
Who?
Gladys sounds like the female Al Molinaro.
She has
the same vocal patterns. That's why.
It's horrible here, and I risked my life to come here to see Dennis today.
All right, Gladys.
It's sleeting and horrible.
And Mike, I have a humongous surprise for you tomorrow.
You do? What would that be, Gladys?
I can't tell you. It's in a little tiny box.
Really?
Surprise. And it's something you will be so happy.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you, Gladys.
What is it, your brain?
Something that Mike has always wanted, and I got it for him, and he'll be so happy.
All right, I don't like surprises. Tell me what it is now.
No, I can't.
No, tell me now because it'll benefit, tell me now and all our listeners will know what it is. Come on, can't resist
real
that.
Special.
Come on, Gladys, what is it?
I can't tell you.
Is it your picture?
Is it a picture of you?
Oh, no, it's not, no.
All right, then you must, Gladys.
I'll give you a clue. It's got your name on it.
It's got my name.
It's personalized.
It's personalized.
Gladys, I will not accept it unless you tell me what it is right now.
Oh, you'll accept it.
No, I won't accept it.
Yeah, you will.
No, I won't even see you. I will make sure that I do not even see you.
What is Dennis doing right now, Gladys?
He's coming toward me.
Of course he is.
Of course.
He's become aware that you're on the radio and he's knocking people
here's
over.
Here's Dennis.
All right, here's Dennis.
God.
Here's our front man.
Good God, Mike.
Here's our opening act.
Hi, God. Mike, how you doing?
Hello. Dennis, I'm sorry no one was there to greet you at the airport last night.
I'm sorry.
All he said then, I'd like to point out, what Dennis just said to us was no, I'm
followed
sorry.
Followed by some stammering and I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry. Dennis, try to answer our questions without starting with the word no, please.
Okay, Don.
You can't. What did you want to say, Dennis?
Bring the ski boots. There's 5 inches of snow here.
It's supposed to be very cold in Wichita today.
Is he kidding about that? There's 5 inches of snow?
I knew it was cold. I hadn't heard about the snow.
5 inches of snow in Wichita?
Yeah, it's snowing in Wichita.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm going to last night.
I packed shorts.
Did you really?
I swear to God, I did.
It's supposed to be 50, maybe 48, 50 degrees.
You better buy some pants when you get here.
I mean, I brought a pair of regular pants, but I packed shorts.
Why
man.
I'm wearing that jacket today? Because I knew I looked at the forecast.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I didn't know they were going to get 5 inches of snow, though.
Right now, it's 28 degrees, and the parking lot is covered with snow and sleet.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
God, I thank you, and I guess I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, I guess you will.
Oh, okay, Don.
Okay, Dennis.
For Mike?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
What, Dennis? Come on, we got a break.
Okay, have a good night. I'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Mike.
What?
Like always.
As always.
You're my favorite.
Hey, get out of here.
I think that's been documented.
God.
And,
yes, Dennis.
Your homecoming's great.
Goodbye.
Hey, thank you.
Please hang up.
Okay, bye!
Your hometown is great.
There he goes, 5 inches of snow.
The wind chill is 8 degrees.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
It's going to be a little chilly in Wichita. All right, I got you. Toe tap and touchstones right there. Time to clear the lines out. Give a caller 100 a prize and a chance to win $1,000 from onmoney.com. Be the 100th person to call the lovely Toya right now. She does not swallow.
Uh-oh.
But she does answer the phone. Phone number is 1-877-365-3636. And on this backwards show, we will next go to a very rare early edition of News and Comment with Wichita's own Guy Birdley. And Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the News and Comments?
Tonight in Vermont, the groom will soon be able to kiss the groom.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, then we'll have some gay news coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Marvelous.
All right, please stay tuned. For News and Comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very... No, professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
When the tumor was dissected into tiny pieces and analyzed, pathologists found it to contain some very bizarre things.
A dermoid is an unusual type of tumor. It can contain any type of human tissue. And in fact, this patient had both hair and teeth in portions of this massive tumor.
Do you find me, Lewis, annoying?
They're extra smart because they've got extra brain juice.
Yummy.
Don and Mike.
Yummy, yummy brain juice. All right, time to call 100. Touchstones, you are the 100th caller. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, is this Don and Mike?
He's nuts. He's nuts. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Marcus.
Hi, Marcus, where are you calling from?
I'm calling you on a cell phone.
What city, Marcus?
Alexandria, Virginia.
Marcus, you have won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss The Sopranos, our favorite show, Sunday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central on HBO. And Marcus, you qualified to win $1,000 that we're giving away on tomorrow's episode. $1,000 from OnMoney.com. Bring all of your accounts together with a single easy-to-use statement from OnMoney.com. See and manage your bank and investment accounts and your credit cards with OnMoney.com.
How about that, Marcus?
Hey, that's great.
Hey, Marcus?
Yeah.
How about this?
What about what?
These nuts.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Marcus.
What's up with, you think y'all can set me up with Toya? I'll take her out on a nice date. We can have a nice date, some dinner.
Well, what do you have planned for Toya if you go out on a date? Walk us through the evening.
I'll take her out. Maybe she might want to go to a movie. Whatever she want to do. Dinner, the whole right. 9 yards.
Uh-huh.
She sound like she's real cute over the radio.
I got to tell you something, though, my brother. She doesn't swallow.
Hey, that's all right, because I don't want no, if she swallowed, that means she might have been swallowing somebody else, and I'm not down for that.
Okay, cool. That's very good. I'm sure she'd like to hear that. Okay, so dinner. So it's movie. What about dinner?
Well, dinner, anything she wants. Steak, seafood, anything she wants.
Who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
I most resemble, I had somebody tell me I look like... Like Will Smith before.
Will Smith?
Yeah, I have real fine facial hair, brown, light brown eyes.
Something tells me
Huh?
Something that tells me with brothers. Will Smith is thrown around the way that white guys threw around Tom Cruise.
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of the ugliest brothers in the world who will say, "Who do you look like?" They go, "I look like Will Smith," and they come down and they look like Fred Sanford.
Nah, I don't look like Fred Sanford. I say I'm a real handsome guy, and I'm not conceited, but I'm real handsome.
I like that. I think Troy is digging you right now. And so, okay, you go to dinner, steak or seafood, and then after that, what happens?
If she's ready to go home, I'll take her home, or we could spend some more time together. It doesn't really matter.
Let's say she wants to stay out later. What do you do after that?
Oh, if she wants to stay out later,
uh-huh.
I might take her to the park or something. We could walk around. We could walk around the park, just have a nice conversation and get to know each other. And then if it gets too late, I just drop her off and we'll talk again.
You'd be a perfect gentleman is what you're saying.
Yeah, a perfect gentleman. Uh-huh. That's what she wants.
You wouldn't try to get anything off her?
Nah. It's all in where it leaves. I mean, if it leaves somewhere like that, then that's where it goes. But I wouldn't force it upon her to do something like that if she didn't want to.
I think Toy is probably in love with this guy. He sounds like a real good guy.
Let me ask her in. Hold on a second. Toya, come here for a minute.
Toya, give this guy the verdict. I think he...
Toya, we have Will Smith with very light facial hair.
He sounds like a perfect gentleman.
On the telephone.
No, he does indeed.
I would bet as soon as you got in the car and the door's locked, it would be the kind of doors you couldn't open. That's just me.
Toya?
Yes.
Why don't you talk to your suitor here? Have a word.
How you doing, Toya?
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
My name is Marcus.
Oh, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Oh, that's too young.
Oh, she's got...
Marcus, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Oh, you're 20. Oh, that's too... What do you mean that's too young? You're a year older than me.
Yeah, but, you know, females mature faster than guys do.
Hey, Marcus. Yo, she's so fine.
And you know, it sounded like you had it all going for you except for your age.
For my age? Age ain't nothing but a number, but that's all. That's real. I can take that. At least she was honest with me. I can deal with that. I don't think it's true that females mature faster than males, because I'm pretty mature. I've been on my own, you know, been taking care of myself for a minute, so.
You should see the faces she's making at you, Marcus.
Yeah. She looks intrigued, though, Marcus. I'll tell you right now.
I guarantee you, if me and her went out and she came back and talked to you guys, yeah, she'll have nuts here. She probably will have a real good feeling about me, I think. So I think we could work something out.
Real good feeling about you.
Yeah,
she's
real
shaking
good
her head,
feeling
Marcus.
About me.
She's shaking her head, I'm afraid.
She's shaking her head. Well, that, yeah. I can understand that.
Uh-huh. I think, Marcus, she just waited for the right white guy. No offense.
Well, I'll paint my skin. How about that?
Hold on, Marcus. You know what? You will get the opportunity to talk with her because she has to get your information, okay?
All right,
my brother. Hold on, please.
Get ready to have a fantastic conversation, Toya.
Hold on.
I will. I'll enjoy every minute of it.
There you go.
I would advise you don't swallow from that guy. Okay? Don't make him your first swallowee.
I wish you'd go out with Marcus. Yeah. I liked Marcus a lot.
He seemed nice enough.
Yeah. Marcus had it all going, and then, you know, it was 23 and 24, and he blew it.
Mm-hmm. She's very picky, she is, our Toya.
You know, the way to do that normally would be, you know, so how old are you? Well, what age are you looking for in a man? 24? I'm 24.
24. Right.
Right.
I look like Will Smith.
Right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Gay marriage is apparently about to become the law in Vermont. That would be a first. A final vote is expected today on a measure that would officially recognize same-sex partnerships.
I, Jim J. Bullock, take you, Homo Joe, to be my lawfully wedded husband.
I honor you.
I'll cherish you.
Till death do us part.
What's that thing that gays do with the straw? What do you call that thing?
I will felch you.
Till felching do us part.
Shrimping.
Will be part of the regular routine.
I will teabag you. Yesterday, the House chamber was packed with supporters wearing pink badges and opponents wearing white badges. The bill's expected to pass the Vermont House and the Senate, and the governor there says he will sign it into law.
I will brown cap with you.
And we will live gloriously together forever.
It's honeymoon time!
And take United Airlines, which says it's hoping to become the official airline of gay men and lesbians.
Good.
That's a progressive thinking company right there. United is hoping to overtake like American Airlines, which many consider the airline of choice among gays.
The official airline of anal sex.
A two-year boycott by gays aimed at United ended last summer.
Boycott?
When the airline agreed
boycott
to offer domestic partner benefits to its workers.
I didn't know that the gay community was boycotting United Airlines.
They were for a while, but those days are behind them.
I see.
The Dow has never had a day like this.
We love the Feld-chatted shows.
Yay! The blue chip index has been up nearly 500 points
now
in afternoon trading.
I'm sorry, Buzz, but now I understand why United has that new slogan.
Which is?
Rising.
The biggest previous one-day gain for the Dow was 380 points, so this is an amazing day there.
I'd just like to point out that from a historical standpoint, Buzz is actually bringing us some good news right now.
Yes, he is. Yes.
I would just like to point out that the Grim Reaper just brought us a bit of good, timely news. And he didn't bury it at the end of a newscast between a story about a Chinese guy who threw his baby out the train and a guy in Los Angeles who threw a dog out of a window of a car.
Thank you.
Right up front. Good news right up front.
What's the NASDAQ doing, Buzz?
I don't have a number on the NASDAQ yet. I will get that for you shortly.
All right.
Now.
See, that's me just trying to bring a little balance into the show.
Thanks, Mike. That three-year-old boy in Texas who got his arm ripped off by a tiger is out of surgery now. The 400-pound Bengal tiger is a family pet, and its owners say they've never had this problem before.
Yeah, there you go. That's bright.
They say it's a passive animal that their daughter pets frequently. But when their three-year-old nephew stuck his arm in the cage, the tiger tore it off at mid-bicep.
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with people? Hey, where's our pet Bengal tiger?
He's down with the three-year-old.
Doctors say...
I mean, are people... there ought to be they ought to do brain autopsies on these people.
My wife said they shouldn't have a Bengal tiger in their possession, and I said, from the sound of the story, they shouldn't have children in their possession.
Right.
Doctors
say... You run all the stories by your wife every day?
Every single one of them.
The editorial sounding board?
Yes, thank you. Doctors say the arm's been reattached, but they're not sure how much use it's going to be.
Oh, God.
The Got Beer ad campaign we told you about the other day, that's history. After concerns from the people who battle drunk driving, the animal rights group PETA has agreed to drop the campaign. The ads encouraged college students to replace their milk mustaches with beer foam.
You see that the news magazine, I'm not sure whether it was Dateline or 2020 last night, where they were showing the, speaking of the PETA people, they must have loved this, the controlled hunt.
Yo, that was on Dateline. I saw it last night. If that was not the sickest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
They get animals in these big areas where they have fences.
Like 300-acre pen, and they're fenced in. The animals can't run away.
Right. And they put hunters in, and the hunters get to run around knowing that they have the advantage that eventually, while they're chasing the animal, the animal's going to run into a fence.
It's not even an advantage. It's a done deal. They're going to kill an animal, and they pick it out like on a menu of what they're going to get. And it's I've never seen anything like it.
It's like fish in a barrel.
So much for being evolved.
I was watching that. I thought that would make a great Twilight Zone. It really would where a guy gets clonked on the head, you know, and he wakes up. And all of a sudden, he's in the middle of a field, and there are, like, giraffes and stuff running around with guns.
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
And he goes to the wall, and he goes to climb up, and bow, 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 bow! Dot, 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 eat my Luger!
And you saw that one scene where they, you know, like, I guess three guys were hunting one ram.
Yeah.
And they put, like, five arrows in it. You know, anybody that even knows those simulators where you're supposed to shoot an animal for a quick kill, and they got five arrows in the thing's leg.
No, it's ridiculous.
Peter...
Peter says the dairy industry is cruel to cows and went on to say that beer is a healthier beverage than milk. This after a report that binge drinking on college campuses is up.
And that, of course, is just a chance for us to play our hawk sound.
I love that sound.
Which there it now is. Just throwing in the news for no particular reason.
It's flying overhead. There it is. Catch it, boys.
Catch it so we can set it free.
The police have not caught New York's East Side rapist. They don't even know his face or his name. But Manhattan prosecutors have filed charges against him anyway. Specifically, they have indicted his DNA. This has never been done before except on TV's Law and Order program. But something had to be done because the five-year statute of limitations on one of his 16 attacks runs out on Sunday. One official tells the New York Post it's a very new, very creative kind of prosecution.
I do want to tell you, I am upside down right now doing the news at this point in the show.
Very, very weird.
This is very, it's almost like a Twilight Zone episode of the Don and Mike show today.
Yeah, but nobody's hunting us.
It's very upside down.
Thankfully.
Time out. We do more news. We come right back. Time for a station break. Anchorage, Alaska. KADS Extreme FM at 94.7.
Burlington, Vermont, WEAV, Ocean City, Maryland, WETV, and New York City, WNEW, 102.7.
With their hearts full of love and their throats full of phlegm, Don and Mike.
Right. Now back to Buzz. And we have to leave very shortly to get on the tragic airplane that will crash en route to Wichita, Kansas.
Mike has his medicine.
You see why I can say that now?
He's safe now.
Because Mike's bag man just showed up.
Thank you, Wendell.
I saw that.
Wendell Hall just came in with a gigantic bag full of alcohol for Mike.
Thank you, Wendell.
Good.
For the flight.
Wendell, have I told you lately that I love you?
And he brought Mike so much that Mike was passing out other samples to the rest of us.
Yes, considering this, you think I've got enough here?
Very nice.
Yes, so I shared it with my friends.
There's no problem now that we're going to be leaving during a thunderstorm and flying into a snowstorm.
That's right.
No problem.
There really isn't.
And the NASDAQ closed up 135 for the curious.
Hey, let's celebrate.
For the curious.
Drink up. And now, cue the truck horns. For the second time in 2 months, truck drivers converged on Washington, D.C., demanding something be done about the price of diesel fuel.
What did you want, Buzz?
The truck horns, please. Yeah.
There they are.
All right. This time only about...
sounds like a Pinocchio. When the boy gets turned into the donkey.
Right.
Andy Rhodes.
The actual sound of the trucks today in Washington, this time only about 150 of them came to town. Barely 10% of what was expected. And then they had a party.
Charlie's truck.
They met with congressmen about fuel taxes and a minimum wage for truckers. The congressman, of course, put the blame on the White House.
Blame it on the white man.
And the mob. No, White House.
A White House?
Yes, I'm sorry. That's the white man.
Not this time.
This is erupting into something unbelievable. We've got lots of people. We've got a honk. We've got trucks all over the place. I don't know, but it's... Oh, no. Look at the humanity. Oh, no. Gunshots have been fired. It's absolutely unprecedented, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on. Well, the photographers aren't going to be able to stop this. It's just amazing. I can't believe it. The honk is still flying overhead.
Somebody shot the hawk.
Oh, my God.
The hawk is falling out of the sky now. Bad day for all of us.
Oh, no.
3 students at a Catholic university have been suspended for putting out a flyer for abortion rights featuring the Virgin Mary. The students at Providence College in Rhode Island captioned the flyer.
Buzz, excuse me, that's Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
R-O-D-I-S-L-A-N.
In Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. And the flyer said, how's this for an immaculate concept? Keep abortion safe and legal.
D-O.
Some of the...
That's how they said disco in Rhode Island. D-I-H-O. Hey, hello, is this Pro FM? You play some D-O?
D-O.
Play some D-O. D-O Saturday night.
D-O.
D-O in Rhode Island.
Man, we were just over there about an hour and a half over in Connecticut. We never said it. We always called it disco.
D-O.
D-O.
Some of the fellow students of those suspended are protesting today, calling it a free speech issue, but the ACLU says the First Amendment doesn't apply to private colleges. The school president calls the flyer a deliberate misuse of a venerated person. The creators of The Soprano, or the creator of The Sopranos, will get over $10 million to stick around the HBO show for a couple more seasons. As part of the deal, David Chase also gets to write a movie that will be distributed by HBO's parent company, Time Warner, as in Warner Brothers. Chase has produced 2 seasons of the mob hit so far, and this deal gives him 2 more. He wants the 5th year of the show, if there is one, to be run by somebody else.
Hey, Grandma Soprano, will you be alive by the 5th year of the show?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Will you be alive in 5 years?
Who are you?
I'm Tony's friend.
Oh, get out of here.
Leave me alone. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord.
The plan
plan to put a Russian actor on the Mir space station to make a movie went kaput today. The movie, The Last Journey, was about a renegade cosmonaut who refuses to leave Mir, insisting he'll orbit Earth for the rest of his days. Ground controllers decide to send up a woman to lure him back. But the Russian space program's even more strapped for cash than ours, and the filmmaker, who was supposed to foot the bill for this, didn't come up with the cash in time.
Too bad, another missed project for Yakov Smirnov.
Oh, man, he's waiting for that one film opportunity.
For Jackoff Smirnov.
Actually, the British producer had hoped to get Robert De Niro, Sean Penn, and Catherine Zeta-Jones involved in the project.
Oh, wow.
The next flight to Mir is just over 2 weeks away. That space station has been unmanned since last August.
And you can put that Zeta-Jones in anything.
Yeah.
She's Zeta-Jones.
Durward Kirby has passed away at the age of 88.
Okay.
B.F.D.
Oh, you unimaginable bastard.
Mike is upset.
Sure. Sure, Mike is afraid of flying.
Oh, okay.
He could give a rat's ass about Durward Kirby.
He's from the black and white days of TV.
Who are you?
Didn't have as much of a sense of humor as you might think. He once threatened to sue the makers of Bullwinkle for staging a cartoon race known as the Kirwood Derby. Buddy Ebsen says there was a time that every man he ran into wanted to meet the woman who played Ellie Mae Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies. That would be Donna Douglas. And tonight on the TV tabloid show Extra, the man who played Jed Clampett will say that one of the men who wanted to meet Ellie Mae was former President Dwight Eisenhower.
Hey, you know, we were supposed to have Jed Clampett on the show. We had Buddy Ebsen on one time.
Great.
And Charlie, what happened? Was he too sick to come on?
A little bit too old these days.
He's too old. Look at Mike clutching his bottle.
He was filming that sequel.
Could you not clutch your bottle while we're doing the show?
I'm just keeping it
make
here.
Him feel better.
Keeping it close to my heart.
No one's going to take your bottle of hooch from you.
Yeah, that's what you say now. And I'll turn my head for 5 seconds and it'll be gone in someone else's clutches. No, it's perfectly comfortable right here.
We were supposed to have Buddy Ebsen back on the show, but they really called and they said, you know what? He's too old.
That's too bad.
He's now too old to do a radio interview.
He's starring in that new movie, Saving Irene Ryan.
He's on
the Extra tonight.
Jed.
Frasier will be on Broadway this summer as Macbeth. Kelsey Grammer, who plays a stuffed shirt on TV, will play Shakespeare's Macbeth for 8 weeks in New York after a three-week run in Boston.
Hello, New York City. I'm listening.
Grammer had reportedly memorized Macbeth's major monologues by the time he was 14 years old.
Hi, Frasier, it's me, your brother, Niall.
Yes, hey, Niles, yes.
I'm going to pretend that I've got a real boner for Daphne. Even though we all know that I'd much really get it on with you.
Now, that's a great idea, Niles. I'm listening.
No word on who'll play Lady Macbeth. The New York Post suggests maybe B.B. Newirth, who played Frasier's ex-wife Lilith.
Hey, I want to tell you something. Yeah, B.B. Newirth?
She's great.
She's a grade-A piece of ass.
Yes, she is.
She really, really is. She
can't do that show Chicago unless you're in that incredible shape.
She looks like a Boney Maroney when she played Frasier's wife,
right,
even back on Cheers.
She's hot.
I don't remember what the movie is. Oh, no, I do remember. It's the movie, an awful movie, where Whoopi Goldberg dresses up like a man.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah, I know the name.
She puts on a white wig,
right,
and she puts on white skin. She pretends to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene where she's being seduced by Frasier's wife, where Frasier's wife takes off her jacket and takes off her dress, and she got on a bustier.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
You got to go with anybody named B.B.
B.B.
A big fan of B.B. Newirth, and I was big fan of B.B. Rebozo's.
B.B.
Regis Philbin may be the hardest working man in showbiz. He'll certainly be the hardest working vacationer in showbiz. The Daily News says Regis has signed to work on a cruise that leaves from Los Angeles next January.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding.
Because he's just not making enough coin.
He's just not busy enough, not making enough money. The newspaper says he'll host lectures on the cruise and make.
We don't do cruises. I'm sorry.
Right.
We really don't.
I know.
I mean, it's one of the few things we're offered that we turned down.
Unbelievable. Regis is doing a cruise? He's doing a cruise.
Right.
He may even play a round of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with the passengers.
He must know something that we don't know. Like that he's going to die soon or something.
It's a 104-day trip around the world. Other entertainers signed for that trip include...
You mean he's going to be gone for 104 days?
104 days, yes.
That's over 3 months.
That's right.
Is it in conjunction with the show? I mean, are they letting him do that? Or
No, I believe he's doing this on his own. I don't know. Maybe they're not taping during that period.
It might just be cheap.
I don't know.
And I love cruising.
The ship is not the SS Van Damme, is it?
No.
That's the ship the G. Gordon Liddy goes on all the time.
The Veen Dom.
No, it
isn't. Veen Dom. The Bam Vang.
No, that's not the one.
Veen Dom.
No, this one, besides having Regis, also has Jim Nabors and Jonathan Winters.
Wow. Well, hey, there you go.
Well, Jim Nabors and Jonathan Winters, you know, somebody calls to do a cruise.
Right. Expect them to do that.
They're available.
That's very odd.
But not Regis. Did you see Good Morning America today?
No, I didn't.
In the 8 o'clock hour, they did a sit-down with Regis, where Diane Sawyer was seriously asking him how he saved ABC.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they give him Diane Sawyer.
Of course.
Couldn't give him anybody else. You know, give him, here's the softball question for you. How did you save the network?
I told you. I told you. Your job is safe because of me.
Right.
And they had the Reach Cam, which was a camera they had on him as he came into the studio, and all of the idiots that line up to be on television at 7 o'clock in the morning were giving him high fives like he's their hero.
Oh, my
like
God.
Like a tribe of some long-gone-away people. And then, oh, son, look, oh, it's our leader. It's the great Regis Philbin. It's the false god we pray to every night.
This is the fall right here. You're seeing the decline of the Roman Empire right before your very eyes.
Yep.
It's happening on the television.
End of the world.
And incidentally, just a note, on the airplane tonight, being as we're going to be drinking, Rob and I have already said we're going to write a new parody commercial.
Okay.
For our new TV show, Malcolm X in the Middle.
Excellent.
I just wanted to throw that out.
Excellent.
Think about it now. Brainstorming tonight for Malcolm X in the Middle.
We'll come up with some ideas.
Frank Gifford's sister surfaces in the next National Enquirer to say that Frank and Kathy Lee are, quote, both phonies who deserve each other. Lola Gifford, who lives in a trailer in Carson City, Nevada.
Open my casket, please.
Oh, Frank Gifford, don't worry about this. Please stay asleep.
Open my seat for Kathy. Please, Kathy.
All right, Frank Gifford, I'm letting you out, Frank Gifford. I've got some bad news for you, Frank Gifford.
Wow, what year is it, Kathy?
It's the year 2000. And bad news, Frank Gifford.
What's that, Kathy?
Your sister Lola's back in the news.
Lola the Sea?
Yes, Lola the Sea saying bad things about us. She's calling us phonies, Frank Gifford.
We are, Kathy.
Oh, that's right. Okay, get back into your glass coffin. Good night.
Kathy, please.
No,
Kathy.
You be quiet, Frank Gifford, or I'll turn off the oxygen.
Kathy,
oh, dear, he's soiled his coffin again.
Kathy, please. Yes. Kathy.
I don't care, Frank Gifford, you're being punished again.
From her trailer in Carson City, Lola Gifford says Frank kept her from getting an inheritance from her mother. She also says Kathy Lee ought to dump Frank because, quoting again, he's incapable of being loyal. Lola has a roommate to share expenses. She's a widowed mother of two with no car and no telephone.
One more, Buzzy.
The Inquirer quotes a friend of the Giffords as saying Lola is just trying to extort money out of her brother. The friend says Lola has done time for cashing a bad check. And the guys in a town in Quebec may have fresh haircuts, but the fun is definitely over. Police have shut down a hair salon called Le Salon Sex Symbol, and they've arrested 8 people in the process. Turns out the customers were getting more than just a haircut there.
Really?
At Le Salon Sex Symbol, the stylist was
Le Salon Sex Symbol.
Go ahead, you try it.
That would be a real drag, meeting your parents and all tonight. Dad, something's happened.
At Le Salon Sex Symbol.
I was just trying to say Salon Sex Symbol.
It's a pressure, really. That's what did it. That's what triggered it.
They tell your dad you don't know what it's like. Every day you go to work and you say I'm old.
You work with those bastards for that many years and you'll have the same problem.
Dad, I mispronounced one word and they pounced on me and now look. I can't feel anything. Dad, I've had a stroke. But it's okay. What's for supper?
Breakfast. At that Frenchie salon, the stylist...
What's the name of it?
Le Salon Sex Symbol.
He's got it
there
now.
There you go.
Listen to that roll off the
tongue. Stylists were stripping, dancing, and talking dirty for the customers, according to police.
Right.
They say the 28-year-old owner and one of her clients were caught naked playing with some oil and a sex toy.
Mm.
3 female employees and 5 male customers were busted for working in or frequenting a house of prostitution.
And we thank you, Buzz. Listen, we've got to go right now.
Right now!
So we can catch a plane Yes, there's your bottle, Mike. You're set. We will be arriving in Wichita at roughly 2:30 in the morning. We will be at... Are you really drinking it now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No.
We'll be at radio station KFH tomorrow to do the show live, and then we'll see you tomorrow night at the Cotillion for the Las Vegas-style show. We will see you then.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye. This is the Dawn Show.
I can't believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob. There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go.
You like that, old man?
You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you.
I want the whole thing.
Happy?
The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough. No? Now you've had enough. Bitch.
With a chunk of Pat Summerall's stomach in every delicious bite. Guaranteed. The Don and Mike Show.
I had a couple of things happen to me this weekend. Just have to share with you. On Saturday, we went up to the beach. We went to Ocean City.
I was thinking you were going to do a lot of driving this weekend.
Oh, a hell of a lot of driving.
Yeah, yeah.
Drove up Friday night, 3-hour drive to Ocean City, mm-hmm. to be there on Saturday and Saturday night.
Right.
Then get up 6 o'clock on Sunday morning
right.
to make the 3-hour drive back here mm-hmm. to come do the Redskins show.
Sure.
But it's really worth it for a one-day getaway.
Yeah, of course it is.
It
yeah.
really is.
Right.
So we get up there, and it's Saturday, and I'm just ready to chill out, and my wife says, you know what we got to do? We got to go to the lighting fixture store. And I said,
hey, now you're living.
Yeah. I said, absolutely not. I mean,
certainly not.
It was World War friggin' III. My wife said, listen, there's a store that has exactly what some light for the bathroom
okay.
that she absolutely had to have. Mm-hmm. I said, no, you know what? Saturday, it's my only day off. We're going to have fun. And she said, no, we're going to go to a lighting store. And I said, no, we're going to have fun. I mean, we went round and round and round. And shocker, I lost.
You lost?
So we got in the car. And the whole way that we're driving to this place, I'm just pouting the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying a word. I'm just driving.
Right.
Real and happy. My son is oblivious to this in the backseat. He's got his Walkman on.
Right.
And my wife, happy as a clam.
Sure. She's going to the lighting fixture store.
She's going through a catalog. She's mm-hmm. looking at this. And I'm just driving down there just pissed off. Thinking, I don't want to spend my valuable day off.
In a store that you would never, that you would give a mile's berth if you were driving by it.
So we finally find the place. We pull up. And my wife gets so excited. She loves to spend my money so much. As soon as she sees the place, she goes, ooh, there it is. Ooh, there it is. It's the big yellow building with the red whiting on the wall.
Right.
Look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's lighting fixtures.
Was it a big one? Was it like a lighting fixture warehouse
store?
Yeah. Oh.
So we pull up to the place, and she says, come on in. And I said, mm-mm. Not coming in. Not going anywhere.
Don't have to.
Sitting right here,
right.
not going. She said, all right, go ahead and be that way. A little pissed at me.
Right.
Shuts the door, gets out of the car, goes to the front door. Beautiful moment. Oh. Place is closed.
Oh, Saturday in the yeah. middle of the day.
Yeah, 12 noon on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
It was a beautiful moment because when she turned around, her eyes met mine. And it was the combination of her extreme disappointment
oh, God.
And my extreme joy.
Oh, no.
And the two met each other halfway.
Right.
And then when he got back in the car, our roles were reversed.
Right.
Suddenly, my wife was pissed and I'm on top of the world.
Oh, God.
You know? Honey, this might be a great day after all.
Oh, is that what you said
yeah,
to her?
And she just freezing me out.
Oh.
Totally freezes
Why
me out.
Why was it closed? Out of business?
It was closed because they switched to winter hours.
Oh, really?
They're only open Monday through Friday. Like lots of resort business.
Okay, again. Sure, right, right.
So we're driving down the road, and now I'm having to be Mr. Happy. My wife was really bummed out that we're not going to get whatever the bathroom light is that she
right.
wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So we're driving down the road, and I said, honey, you know what's in town this weekend at Ocean City? And she said, what? And I said, Sunfest. And she said, what is Sunfest?
What is Sunfest?
What is it?
It's where they close the boardwalk.
Right.
And they put up these tents. And like you can get steak on a steak.
Okay,
and
it's a festival.
North Carolina barbecue. And I said, they have all that craft crap that you like.
You like your festivals.
I do. I said, so let's go to that. And she said, no, you won't have a good time. I said,
you were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You read me wrong. I didn't want to go to the lighting fixture place.
Right.
I will go, and I will be the best companion you could have at the craft fair, whatever the hell this thing is.
Mm-hmm. Sunfest.
So we get down there, and of course, there's no place to park. I mean, there's the whole boardwalk parking lot is where they're having this thing.
As this time of year approaches, it's probably the only game in town that's
right.
The nice thing.
Right. Jam-packed like a quarter of a million people in town this weekend, in a small town. So we're driving around, and finally there's one huckster who is selling parking spots in his front yard for $20 each.
Wow.
So I pull in.
Mm-hmm.
My wife says, don't do that. Don't give him the satisfaction. I said, honey, there's no place to park unless I pay this guy the $20.
Mm-hmm.
She says, you're not going to like it anyway. I said, no. New me. New attitude. Going to love it no matter what. I'm going to get my $20 worth out of parking in this guy's front lawn.
Sure.
So we park. We walk. We get there. And immediately I find out it is like going to a third world country.
Oh, really? Is that bad?
Well, combination of the smells.
Yes.
The people.
Right.
The poor hygiene.
Yes.
The extremely redneck crafts.
Yeah.
And to call the things they have their crafts.
Macrame of Elvis or things like that, right?
This is an insult to all things that truly are crafts.
So the crafts aren't even worthy of a gaze.
No, it was like...
Any good food? Do they have good food there?
Well, this is where it all really went south for me.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I'm keeping it together now. And my wife, now what's happening now is the moods are now changing again.
She's realizing you were wrong about Sunfest.
Right. But I'm having to fake like I'm having a good time.
Isn't this great? Look at this, a wooden toy soldier.
And at one point, I said to her, we were walking around, and I said, this is like being in a freaking, I use the real F word, like being in a freaking third world country.
Right.
It was. And she turned around, she had a big smile on her face. She says, what? You mean you don't like it here?
What?
I said, oh, no. I love it here. Let's get some eats, honey.
Let's get some chow.
So we walk around, and I see that there's a place where they got pita sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. You know what? That's great. They'll give me one of these pita sandwiches.
I think I'm identifying the sick poops thing now.
Oh, no, this was on Saturday. No.
Well, sometimes it takes a couple of days.
Well, no, and I'll tell you why. Because it never got to my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Because we walk out of the place, the guy gives me this pita sandwich, which is wrapped in aluminum foil.
Right.
I pick it up. We're walking, I'm going to take a bite of it, and the bottom of the aluminum foil opens up.
The cucumber sauce.
The whole thing, I mean, all of it, all over my shirt. All of it, first on my shirt, and then on the ground.
Hallelujah.
And we're standing there, and it's at that point, I mean, I am...
Was it hot, too? Was it a burning hot?
Well, it was like... Oh, you meant was the...
Was the sauce that came out?
Yes. Yeah. It was also a hot day outside, so I was sweating anyway. We're standing in the middle of this stream of humanity going by, and I said to Frida, oh, now look at this. And I turn around, and I mean, I got a stain. I had a white T-shirt on. I had a stain as big as my whole chest.
Look kind of biological, too.
Yeah, with a variety of colors, because there was like, there was some kind of hot sauce in this thing, and it was jerk chicken, so it had that kind of orangey-brown color.
Yum, yum.
And I'm just standing there, and I'm looking, and here's my beautiful sandwich on the ground.
Right.
And it's all over the front of my shirt, and she says, well, how are you feeling now? Still, I say, you know what? I'm just going to be fine. I'm going to have to go buy a new T-shirt.
Right.
I can't walk around like this, but I'm going to be fine. We're going to buy a T-shirt. It'll be great.
Meanwhile, your real feelings are you just wish you could get the hell out of there.
Huge mistake by going to this.
You buy yourself, you'd be in the car going back home.
Huge mistake. So we go. My wife won't let me buy just a T-shirt.
Right.
She says, we got to go to the natural resources. They have a booth there.
Mm-hmm.
Where you learn about endangered animals and stuff. So she buys me a T-shirt.
You're the man for that.
She buys me a T-shirt that says, I love animals.
There you go. Cool. Right. Well, you do love them.
Some animals.
You love your dogs.
So she says, here's your shirt. Go change your shirt. I'll be right here. I go and I turn the corner. And I say, where am I going to change my shirt? Well, there's a line about 50 guys long to go in the porta potty.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not going to wait in line for 15 minutes for this. So what I do is I just duck behind one of these tents. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I swear to God, to Jesus Christ, as soon as I do the move where I'm taking the old shirt off,
yeah.
At that moment, a woman working in one of these tents opens up the back window to get some supplies, and there I am standing there with my pants unbuckled.
Chester the molester.
And my shirt just coming off the top of my head.
And it's a procedure that you're not comfortable doing it anyway. I mean, you just want to get it done. You want to get it done.
And she just looks at me for a second, and she goes back behind the curtain, right. And the next thing, you know, her husband comes out.
Okay, what the hell is going on back here?
Can I help you?
I said, yeah, like you're doing something illicit.
Yeah, I'm just back here changing my shirt.
Howdy, sir. My name's Johnny Jerkon, and I was just using the space behind your tent to have a private moment.
I'm just changing my shirt. And then when I picked up the old shirt, I said, you see, this was the old shirt. This is the new shirt. And
probably not having any of that, right?
The guy says to me,
yeah,
that's fine. Why don't you buckle your pants, son?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Put that away.
You're right. I swear to God, all of this exactly. I know that you think that I exaggerate. All of this exactly as it happened.
No, the guy's probably thinking you're peeking inside the tent going, hello, Mrs. Craig.
Yeah, right. Taking my shirt off.
I can see you. You're wearing green, so you can hide. Oh, fun at the festival.
So the guy says, fine. You know, you're not supposed to be back here, though. This is a restricted area. Wow. I said, okay, I'm just going to change my shirt. I'll be right
back. Need a backstage pass.
So
I get the craft groupies.
Put the new shirt on. I just leave the old shirt back there. I think I'm never going to wear this thing again. I just leave it in the garbage back there. And then I go around and say to Frida, hi, are you ready to go yet? And she says, no, I'm not quite ready to go. You know what? I'm hungry now. And I said, okay, well, what would you like? And of course, because she's got that radar, there have to be 25 booths all around us where she can eat. The one place she wants to eat is the one place that has fruit cups.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one place where the guy just caught me taking my shirt off.
Right. Oh.
So I said, I don't want to go there. Let's get something else.
I don't want to go there. They think I'm a peeping Tom.
Right.
I have my pants undone.
So I didn't say anything to her. We've got in line. We wait for the, we get up in front of the line. My wife says, I'll have a fruit cup, please. And my husband will have a Diet Coke. And they're ringing it up. And the guy looks at me and I go, hi again. How are you? And he says, I'm fine. How are you? I said, this is my wife. My wife was with me when I spilled the sandwich on my shirt.
Explaining stuff to people that don't matter.
At this point, the guy had forgotten that I'm Chester the molester.
You're babbling in control because you think he's been dwelling on it the whole time. Man, we almost got a pervert coming in.
He meant nothing to this guy. Absolutely nothing. So we get out of there. This is the last thing that happens. We get out. My wife says, you want some of the fruit cup? And I said, yeah, I'm starved. I'll take that big hunk of watermelon. I take a plastic fork, and she's got a little plastic bowl. I spear the whole thing of watermelon. And
I know where this is going.
Yeah. I swear to God. Down my new shirt,
right.
Down my pants, all the way down to my shoes, where I'm now covered in watermelon juice. And it was at that point that I just lost it.
You're eating, you have to, well, you can't help anything with a jerk chicken sandwich, but of course you do what a lot of guys do, which is you have to diminish the space between the source of the food and your mouth. Yeah, the less distance it has to travel, the better. Yeah, Rob, that's the way it works, right. Really. I mean, so really it's getting the fruit cup right up here and then spearing it so it's right, it's almost right in your mouth. If you can't wait.
This is the Don and Mike Show, Sports 1140 KH. Do you mean they broadcast from Monday till Friday? The Don and Mike Show.
Tell you what happened on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. It was Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning, I had to get up 6 o'clock in the morning to make the drive back to D.C. to do the Redskins show.
Right.
My wife gave me a nudge on Sunday morning that indicated that
she was interested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we had, I will call it dirty sex, not because of the sex acts that were involved,
mm-hmm.
but because, you know, it's that first thing in the morning. Neither one of us brushed our teeth.
Ah.
So there was no kissing. Yeah. Okay?
I can relate.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So I also was a little uncomfortable because, well, frankly,
there's a significant point to be made here. If you're having that dirty sex, unwashed sex, is what you're saying. You know,
yes.
Hygienically, you're both not. If you're both on equal footing that way, it's okay.
Well,
if one person is slightly less hygienic than the other, then it can cause problems.
Well, I was concerned on many levels.
Right.
First level was, even though my wife hadn't brushed her teeth for 8 hours, I'm positive that my breath was a million times worse.
Right.
Always is.
Sure.
Number two, and it's not a pun. The first thing I do in the morning, I got a huge fart. I mean, I always have a giant fart first thing in the morning, and I generally wait until she gets up and goes in the bathroom, and I just...
Regular as rain.
I just let her rip. So I got all these things happening, running through my mind. Like, I don't want my wife to smell my bad breath.
Right.
Oh, what if I fart?
Right.
And then it's the once in a million, the one in a million time when she wants me to Junior Soprano.
Ah!
So I say, you know what? No problem. I got the breath for the job.
Oh, God.
I'm ready.
Oh, God.
I'm ready. So I go to work.
Right.
I mean, I go to work, and I want to tell you that there has never been a tougher safe to crack than the safe down there.
You mean she wants you to finish the job?
What I mean is that this was not one of those times, and I know we've talked about it before, mm-hmm. where you get the tug on the hair. This was one time when my wife was just laying back and going, yeah, come on.
And you did not find the experience to be exhilarating?
No, it was great. Mm-hmm. When I was done, when the safe was cracked, I got up and looked at the clock, and I thought, oh, my God. I've been at this for 20 minutes.
Wow.
Hey, 20 freaking minutes.
That's pretty incredible.
That's a long time.
Yes, it is.
That's a long time for her.
I understand that.
That's a long time for me.
Right.
And then I was ready for, you know, turnabout is fair
play. Reciprocity.
Right. But she would have none of that.
Oh.
No, she said, let's just get to it.
Right.
And I said, well... All right, but, you know, I was thinking, here I am thinking I'm going to get 20 minutes of that.
Well, I was thinking for when you first said that you would get no, you know, further activity. That would have been interesting.
Oh, no. Well, that would not have been acceptable. Absolutely not acceptable. So then we, you know, finished our love.
Right.
And then the goofiest thing, when you're done, is like when you're out of the heat of passion.
Yes.
That's when you realize.
It's when men and women behave very differently also.
We both realize we have awful B.O.,
mm-hmm.
that our breath stinks,
mm-hmm.
that we both have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Very badly, and for whatever reason, we want to get as far away from each other as we can.
Right.
Neither one of us wants to hurt the other's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, even though we've been married 18 years,
right.
you know, you still don't want to hurt her feelings.
Right.
So it was that thing when we were done and had my arm around her.
It's one of those moments where you care about the other person's feelings.
She said...
That's right.
She said... Wow, what got into you? And the whole time I'm talking to her, I'm talking like this.
Yes.
Because I don't want to blow my breath on her.
Okay, I understand. Away.
She goes, what got into you? And I go, oh, gee, I don't know. I just feel really passionate. That's all. Just feeling so good. She goes, well, come here. Give me a hug. So I lean over, and I gave her, like, a hug that you would give, like, your grandma.
Right.
Not a woman that you just had sex with.
Sure.
And she said, what? What is it? I said, what is it? Smell this. And I went, and she got a look on her face
like she was going to puke.
She said, that is the worst breath that I have ever smelled. Yeah, well, Buzz, I didn't say that.
You're right. Yeah, no.
I didn't say that. Yeah.
The combined effect.
That would have taken away from the moment.
Right.
Right. Man, oh, man.
But it was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
As bad as Saturday was, Sunday in that regard is pretty good.
That's great. I usually don't talk about my escapades on the weekend, but I will tell you that in the hygiene department, I have you beaten. I have you beaten as far as that activity with the hygiene. I actually ate crabs, steamed crabs, on Saturday night. Had a wonderful time on Saturday night. Got up on Sunday morning, sand shower, and then went out with my in-laws for crabs once again. And then at night, without a shower or anything. Actually, and that's how you know it's true.
That's love.
That's how you know it's really true love. And it seemed to be acceptable. But I mean,
Did you put on like aftershave or anything?
Well, the bathroom at the crab house that I was eating at had the disinfectant soap, and I scrubbed up pretty good after I ate crabs. But there, you know, there could have been some floss in my life during that 24-hour period. would have been very, very helpful. But it was great. It was fantastic. Because my wife actually said the same thing to me, that she said, you know, because of lunch, she said, you know, I might have a little breath. And I'm like, oh, man, don't worry.
Did you brush your teeth?
Huh?
Did you brush your teeth over the weekend?
Over the weekend, yes, yeah. I did brush my teeth. I brushed my teeth, I have to confess, on Saturday morning. But then there was another crab thing. And I'm talking, you know, crabs, you eat that kind of food.
Yeah, I know.
You know, with your hands and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's mangy. It's mangy stuff.
So how long did you go without showering?
I showered Saturday morning. And then...
And you went to until this morning?
Yes. Yeah, that's a pretty good record, isn't it?
That's pretty game.
That's all day, yeah.
That's pretty gamey.
Did I shower before I went out on Saturday night? No. No.
God.
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, God.
Well, where'd you go? Well, where'd you go when you went out Saturday night? Saturday morning, took a shower, went out, played 18 holes of golf.
Oh, nice sweaty golf.
Came back, chilled out, watched a little Ryder Cup, went out Saturday night to a crab feast.
Restaurant.
A little birthday party for a friend of ours. And then got up the next morning, and actually it was a decision. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law stayed over, and they actually said, what do you, you know? I said, you know, it's Sunday morning, going out to look at your house. I think we're going to put a shower on the back burner today. and then we ventured out. So the total time was
2 days.
Was significant. It's the ultimate bad high. You've had those weekends where it's the Saturday morning shower is the last hygiene you see. But a lot of hand washing and a couple of toothbrushings during that period of time.
Because you care.
Yeah, but you know, with the short hair, too. Yeah, because normally by the end of the weekend, my hair would look like Chris Farley and Tommy Boy. You know, but I just had to mention that when you were talking. You know, normally I wouldn't, but I had to. And ours was a night, right before bed type of thing. You know, and then to bed. It's not like I jumped in the shower right before. So this morning, really, you could have, you know.
So
you,
did you have dirty sex with your wife, too?
No. No, not when you're talking, you mean down there?
No. Did you have sex while you were unwashed?
Oh, no. Yes, I did. I had that kind of, I was confusing that between what you were talking about, that activity you were talking about.
So after you had sex.
Unwashed, yes.
So you didn't shower from Saturday till Monday, and in
Saturday
all.
Saturday morning, yes.
And in all of those smells.
Right.
Those unwashed smells was also the unwashed smell of sex?
Yes, the smell of sex. Mm. And then this morning, really, the number one priority was to race, literally run to the bathroom. And that's when you can't begin scrubbing enough. You're just like everything. And you really think you get done with the shower, you get done brushing your teeth again, and you put your and as I'm putting my clothes on, I'm saying to myself, maybe I could have gone with a full cycle one more time. Just a complete showering and a complete toothbrushing during that entire.
Oh, you mean do it over again?
Sure. I mean, that's how, you know, I definitely needed it. But I'm doing okay today.
But don't do that. That's so gross.
Absolutely.
That is so gross. You smell your own armpit.
Just like Daisy.
We will be back. More show coming right up. It's Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you really are an dumb today. What's wrong with you?
Why?
They had to do that for the Detroit Rock City movie.
They didn't have to do anything. And furthermore, it's released.
They don't have the independence to tell VH1 to go to hell.
Well, that's because they run out of songs.
They didn't have to choose that as a single to release.
No. They were on VH1 saying they had to do songs from the 70s. They couldn't come up with their own new stuff.
For the movie, but they didn't have to release that song as a single.
But they were given a list of songs to pick from.
No, hold on a second.
He still doesn't get it.
Listen, these guys, I was a big fan of their first record. Boom, boom, bada, bada, boom, boom. Bow, 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 bow. I will buy you a new house. Bow, bow, bow. But they've already run out of gas, man.
No, I'm not saying they haven't run out of gas.
Right?
But it's better than the bands that start off making a remix.
Yes, those bands have nothing.
Those bands suck.
They can always, remake, they can lend their name to an acne product.
And Mike, it's our year. Woo, Red Sox, baby!
No wonder he was an Anal Sox fan. No wonder he wanted to pick a fight with me about that.
All right.
Oh, come on, don't take it so personal.
I don't like Anal Sox, man. It's my year. Don't rain on my parade.
Come on. Anal Sox.
Okay, rain on my parade.
How about the Butt Sox?
Yeah. How about the Red Sox, okay? How about just the Red Sox? How about let's just wait till it's all over and then he can kick me when I'm down, okay?
Okay, I promise.
All right.
Cruise until then.
Thank you very
much. Cruise until they blow it, but then that day.
That's right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my word is a gentleman.
Okay, that's good. And the day after that they're out of it, you can be all over.
Okay. Hello.
I feel my sore throat coming on already.
Not in my show. I can do it with you in here and without you here.
Okay.
Either way.
Good.
Hello.
Don Mike.
Why don't we try that?
What's up?
Hello. Okay.
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 Okay, fine. We will.
Okay.
Okay, wonderful.
When?
Whenever.
How about now?
You want me to?
Sure.
You want me to walk out?
Sure.
Sure. Say what you want. Want to do it without me?
Listen, why don't you get a little more sensitive about the anal
socks? Okay, all right. No, I wasn't sensitive about the anal socks. I can do it without you, or I can do it with you. That's it. That's what I was sensitive about.
Who brought it up?
You would be sensitive about that, too, a-hole.
Who brought it up?
You would be sensitive about that, too. It's a nasty thing to say.
It's okay for you to bring it up and to say maybe you won't come in that day.
That was a joke. I didn't make a statement that I could come in and do that.
So was mine.
All right, fine. Fine,
so
fine,
was mine.
Fine.
Fine.
Excellent. Okay.
Anytime.
Anytime what?
Anytime you want to walk out, you can walk out.
I don't walk out.
Okay. All right. We don't have a problem.
Okay. Anytime you want to walk out, you can walk out.
I will.
Okay. Very good.
I don't want to walk out.
All right. We both don't want to walk out. So is it settled?
Yes.
Okay.
Christ.
Very good.
Anal socks. Well, then that's off, then.
Now, am I supposed to be like, Jim Everett and turn over the table right now? Is that what it is, Chris?
Man, why don't you overreact a little more?
Why don't you be insensitive a little more?
About the Red Sox?
Red Sox are important. You know something?
The Red Sox,
let me explain
please.
Something. Let me explain something. Certain things, let me enlighten you to a fact, okay?
Come on.
Certain things are sensitive to certain people. Certain people can take so much crap about things.
About the
certain
Boston
people,
Red Sox?
About Boston Red Sox God, are important to me.
Get a thicker skin to do this show.
You know,
then.
Maybe I need a thicker skin to do this show.
About the Red Sox?
Maybe I need a thicker skin, but certain things push my buttons, okay?
Oh, my God.
I love my beloved Red Sox.
Okay.
Well, okay?
Keep throwing down.
What's that?
I said, throw down, Mike. You don't take that.
Oh. Well, listen.
That's
great. But I'm hanging up on you because you just said the S word.
Okay?
Goodbye. Please.
So goofy.
The Red Sox. You get mad about the Red Sox.
I've always gotten mad about the Red Sox.
Yeah, but you're really mad about the Red Sox.
I'm mad about a bunch of stuff, not just the Red Sox, but I don't think we should discuss it on the air. I really don't, okay? I don't
think you're mad about a bunch of stuff with me?
I'm mad about a couple of things, and I don't think I want to discuss it on the air. That's all. I mean, I think we should just move forward, and if you don't want to move forward, we don't have to move forward. We can just sit here because I'm not going to talk about it, and that's fine. That's fine, but I mean, if you want to move forward, we can move forward. If you don't want to move forward, we don't have to move forward.
You know, you put me in an awkward position here. You bring up something on the air now.
Mm-hmm.
We say that, if you got a problem with me and you'd like to clear the air, go ahead. If there's other issues that you don't want to discuss.
No, I'm talking about when, after a certain amount of time, where I say, don't call them the anal socks. I just asked you that. I asked you on the air. I would ask you off the air, but I asked you on the air.
Hold on, though.
And then when I say that coming, I could do it with you or without you. That's that's fine. If that's your attitude, that's fine. But that hurts my feelings when you make that comment. That hurts my feelings.
Record,
I will take that separately, okay?
For the record, it hurts my feelings when you put the brakes on the show because of frankly, something that... The Red Sox?
No, I wasn't saying the Red Sox.
You're going to make a stand on this show about the Red Sox?
I wasn't talking about the Red Sox.
I was
talking about a comment that what really got me mad was what you said after the Red Sox, which was the fact that, hey, I can do it with you or I can do it without you. And that is what got me mad. Not the Red Sox deal. What really got me mad you said during this interchange.
It's okay for you to push. But then I can't push back?
Oh, I push all the time, don't I? I really push all the time. You know something? I don't push
at all. You don't think you're pushing now?
I'm pushing now.
You don't think this is embarrassing now? We're having an argument on the radio now?
Sometimes people have arguments. We've had arguments in the past. Sometimes I push back. Occasionally I push back. Most of the time I sit back and I just relax. But sometimes when a statement is made that's sensitive to my feelings as somebody who does what I do for a living, occasionally I push back. And you know something? Whenever I do push back, God forbid, because Katie barred the door.
Okay, well then.
Okay?
Okay. You don't want the truth from either then.
What? The truth? You give me the truth. Give me the truth. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear the truth, as embarrassing as it might be. I'd like to hear you tell me the truth. You tell me exactly what the truth, because that's fine. Because, I say I want to move on. We can, but if you think that I'm putting the brakes on, I mean, that's fine.
There are two guys in this room doing this show, and there's one guy who's always thinking about what's going out over the radio. That's my only point. That's where I come from every time on this goddamn show with you.
Okay.
I care about what goes out of the microphones and what people are hearing out there.
And I also
That's my point.
I also care about the show, and I also care about what's going on the radio, too. And when I say let's move on, I'm thinking about that because I don't want to keep talking about it, all right? And when you get mad and you're reacting, you're just as mad as I am right now. You're just as mad as I am. Are you thinking about what's going off on the air? Do you think? Are you indicating to me that you think that by this going out on the air that it's bad right now, that we maybe should move on, that we maybe should continue and talk about something else? Because if that's the case, I'll honor that. I have no problem honoring that.
But since you're the only one thinking about the show. I didn't want to be put in this position to begin with.
Okay.
To begin with, which is why I understand your point when you said, maybe I won't come in, and I said,
no, I said, maybe I'll get a sore throat that day.
Okay, translated. That means maybe you won't come in. So then I throw back at you. Well, that's fine with me.
But let's get back to... If we're going to be specific, what you said to me was, that's fine with me, I can do it with you, or I can do it without you. And then you looked at me, and if you don't feel that way,
then you're in the wrong business. Because, frankly...
What do you mean, if I don't feel what way?
If you got hit by a bus today, I would still come in and do the show. Mm-hmm. I got to think that you also think, if I got hit by a bus today, you would come in and do the show. Your life would not crumble.
Well, I don't think I got hit by a bus. Whether I come in and do the show is a different story. Whether I feel that my life would crumble, I'm not sure. Do you understand my point, though? I don't know how I would feel about doing this particular show and doing it that way. I mean, I'd have to regroup. I can't come in and I'm not going to lie.
I wouldn't come in the day after you got hit by the bus.
Well, I'd come in and do a eulogy show.
As I would for you.
Okay.
It would be the best damn eulogy ever.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's sensitive.
But my point is, okay, just hear me out,
right.
I promise, I'll let you go.
And then I will say something, and I will express myself as well. I want to tell our listeners the way things work on this show, okay? One of the things that I have been told on this show is that if there's something that bothers me, to come to you at any time, off air or whatever, and tell you that it's better.
That's true.
And right there is something, that's one thing you've always asked me to do, okay? That is one of the responsibilities I have, okay? I give you the fact that I didn't honor that responsibility, that I didn't come to you and I didn't do it off the air. And for that, I apologize. I shouldn't have done this on the air. I probably should have said something to you off the air. I will also tell you, with that said, that there are moments in one's life where sometimes, because of a variety of circumstances, that you can't always honor that. And this was one of those circumstances.
Okay.
And that's where I'm coming from.
Okay, then.
And I will tell you right now, before all of our listeners, that if you knew where my head was at right now, it would be, you probably understand, right, a little bit better. But you don't, and since obviously you communicate most effectively when we're on the air, I bring that to your attention now on the air.
I think we communicate effectively off the air.
I do, but I will tell you, that if there are just certain times when a person hears something, I think everybody that we're associated with, now please listen to me for a second. To be honest with you, that's the difference between me and everybody that's associated with this show. Is we've had a relationship where sometimes I just don't sit down and sit on my hands. I can't do that. It's impossible.
Okay.
It's not part of who I am.
Let me get back to my... Okay, give me 30 seconds now.
Okay?
Because I will echo everything you said.
Correct.
And I apologize for taking it to the next step.
Okay.
But then I want you to realize the reason I did, and you got to admit, if you took yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're driving down the road and you're listening to a radio station. And this is what I'm always picturing. I say anal socks.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. They're a sports team. You don't play for them.
And I tell you, and I've told you
again. You don't own them.
Hold on a second. And I stop you right there and I say the anal socks was not what got me mad.
But the anal socks is what led into...
If it did.
And that was my point.
I will give you that.
That's my only point.
What got me upset?
What really got me upset is when you said,
I can do it with you or without you. And whether you believe that to be true, to be honest with you, we both know the facts. And the facts are that this show is better with me, just like it's better with you.
I would agree.
And if we go our own separate ways, that's what
just
gets me upset.
Just understand my point. It never would have gotten to that point if there hadn't been the ultimatum about, that's it, don't call them the anal socks.
Okay.
And my point to you is, yes, on the occasions when you want to get off of your hands and say something, when you want to make a fist, I'm all for that. But in the big scheme, taking yourself out of it,
mm-hmm.
doesn't that seem like a small one to cause a war over?
I think,
you know what I mean?
I think the anal socks is a very small one to cause a war over. I think saying, you know, I can do this with you or without you, which was a result of that earlier discussion, is worth actually going my own way. If you say that, if you feel that way, that makes me that upset. That hurts my feelings because I think, you know, when you talk to that, you speak to that. And you know how I play it in here. You know how I do it in here. And I try to honor what we have, and I've tried to
do
things.
As do I. And
right.
Listen, the last time I knew, you had no complaints with the way this show is going.
No, I don't have any complaints.
And I don't have any complaints either.
I truly don't have any complaints with the way this show works.
And I don't either.
What I do have complaints with occasionally is when I see, you know, I've made alterations in the way I approach this job. You have made alterations in the way you approach this job. I think together that we have made this show better, more successful, and
agreed.
I think it's been wonderful. But I will tell you this, that certain things changed on both ends. And when I hear certain things that I used to hear, and that comes back, I get sensitive about that. And that would be one of those deals where we had discussions about this as far as how we treat each other on the air. I think we both try to honor that.
I agree. I'm the first guy that told you, I don't want to fight on the air with
you. I know
you.
That. I know.
I swear to God. But, then for the last time, at least understand where I'm coming from, that I'm thinking about doing a show where we're going along and I'm goofing with you about your favorite baseball team.
And you were.
When suddenly...
And then I said...
Suddenly, it's not funny to you,
mm-hmm.
and you put the brakes on it. What am I supposed to do at that point? Go, okay, let's go to commercial set now.
No, it was something that... And you keep going back to the Red Sox, and I will tell you that I will say it until I get through to you on it, that that is not what got me legitimately mad.
I understand what got you mad. When I said, I do it with you or without you.
And then anal socks, you know, as far as saying it, just because I communicated that and just saying it that way. The issue had nothing to do with that. The issue had everything to do with that comment that you made, and that's when I got...
But that comment was made after you chose to make your last stand, as it were here. You chose to put up the wall about the anal socks comment.
Well, yeah, you can look at it technically that way, but I will tell you that what really lit my candle, what really upset me, which would upset anybody that has any pride in what they do, that has pride in their work.
And I could appreciate that.
That is it. And you know something, and I say this to you before all of our listeners, if that is the way you feel, as far as I'm concerned, that's fine.
If that is, first off, if that was the way I felt,
mm-hmm.
I certainly would not tell you live on the radio.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Second, that is not the way I feel.
Okay.
But third, it's like getting in a game of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like you wanted to play chicken with me, and
It's not a game of chicken, though.
We are competitive.
It's not a game of chicken. It's something that, you know, I just, some, you know, occasionally when that kind of a comment is made, it just reminds me of certain things over the years. You know, we've both gone back and forth with problems here, problems there. We
sure.
both made alterations. We both made sacrifices.
Sure.
And sometimes when certain things are said, certain hot buttons, the way of life goes, you just actually become aware of those, and it comes to the surface. And certain things boil over. We cruise a lot on this show with a lot of stuff that I say that I know you don't like, and a lot of stuff you say that I don't like. We don't always make
a
big deal of it.
And that's why...
Occasionally.
I was surprised...
Right.
That my... You know,
but and if you're going to go back, okay, but I mean, when you do that and when you laugh about that, what you're doing is you're going back to, again, what I told you was not the point, and you're diminishing my response.
Trust me, I understand your response, and
right.
I believe I've addressed the response.
Okay.
I apologized for making that remark.
Okay.
Said that was not the way that I feel.
All right.
However, okay, this now is pointless. Because now we're just going back and forth to the same crap.
Of course.
I say the same crap, and you say the same crap.
Well, that, you know, once in a while it's going to happen.
Okay.
I think when two people work together, you know, for a long period of time, and, you know,
it's just, I expect that reaction that I got from you, and I'm not talking about the comment. I'm talking about what started it all. That, I would think, would be reserved for the occasions when I say something about your sister.
Right.
When I say something about your wife.
Mm-hmm.
When I say something about your religion. I mean, mm-hmm. the buttons that I truly know
mm-hmm.
are true hot buttons.
You don't consider the Boston Red Sox to be a religion?
No.
My family refers to that as the religion. No. And that's not
okay.
It. You know, as far as that's concerned, it's just, you know, I will go to my grave saying about this specific argument, the problem I had was the other comment that was made. You know, that is what I get sensitive about. I've always been sensitive about
that. Well, I don't want you to be sensitive about that. For that, I apologize.
And when you get into, and I know how you are, if anybody argues with you in your house, as it were, right here on the radio, you fight to the death. And I understand that. And you do not like to lose arguments, just like I don't like to lose arguments. I don't think this is a winnable or losable argument. It's just two people trying to express the way they feel.
Okay.
Well, that's all that is. And, you know, we clear the air.
Fine.
You know, I'm certainly calmer than I was when this started. But it's, you know, it's tough. And I know there'll be fallout about this probably, but that's all right.
Sometimes there'll be any fallout about this.
Okay. You know,
you don't think so?
I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If there is, I'll deal with that, too. I just think what it is occasionally people have to purge, and occasionally has to be done in our forum. I do. I think it's necessary. I think it's a necessary evil. And I think one every 2 years isn't all that bad.
No, that's why I said I don't think that there's need, you know, now during the commercials for us to go out in the hall, you know, to have a conference about this.
Okay.
That was my point.
All right.
I mean, that's it.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
How you like watching that, Buzz?
That was very civilized, the way you guys worked that out. We're very proud of it. You think so?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like the old days when people actually run for cover and jump under the desks and, like, lock doors and stuff like that.
You really, you know, kind of shared that with us, and that's a first. That was very interesting.
No, it's certainly not a first, but thank you for caring.
No, first on the radio.
On the air.
First time on the radio.
On the radio, then they've spilled over.
I don't think we've had it on the radio in that detail in a long time.
Not like that. No, I think that was more me than Don, actually. I think sometimes, you know, I got to get some stuff out in the air, and maybe I wanted to do it publicly. I don't know. Maybe that was a desire. Maybe that was a desire I had to do it publicly. Maybe we'll change, and this is the way it'll be forever. I'll just express myself publicly about everything I feel.
You have free reign to express yourself. Your microphone is open as much as mine is.
Well, then let me say, a long
time ago, I told
you that. But you know, you just set me up. I understand. Yes, I did.
Totally set me up.
See how we did that?
Okay.
There you go.
All right, well, listen, now let's do a commercial set, please.
All right.
Okay, just one thing.
Yes.
And for the record, where do we stand on the anal socks, though?
I think it would be a very good idea. Unlike other people that get in the end of arguments, as I said before, after, like we had said right at the beginning,
okay,
after everything's all said and done,
okay,
you know what? I will make you this pledge. Once they're out of it,
yeah,
you can call me anal socks all day long, and it will be up to me to just sit there and take it.
Okay.
Right, and I won't have a sore throat.
Once they're out of it, you'll be calling them that.
That's right. You tip my hand.
All right. Okay.
That's it.
Let's break it. We will be back after this.
We're done. Done.
And not a moment too soon.
Oh, man, we got to catch the next show.
Goodbye, Turkey. My turn, it will. Be in touch. Sorry, we're out of time.
This is the Don and Mike Show.